morning, everybody. It is a strange morning in the sanctuary. There's just a handful of us here, and so we miss all of you, of course. A couple of things to share with you. Just a reminder that Tasha and I are doing daily devotions online at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. You can find those on the church's Facebook page, and then soon those should also be available on the church's website. There's lots and lots of information as well on the church's website if you aren't a Facebook person, and some of our content will be slowly moved there to duplicate what you find on Facebook. Things to pay attention for this week. We do anticipate very shortly that all of our content will be available via podcast. So once that is up and running, we will certainly make sure that you have that information delivered to you so you can listen to worship, listen to the daily devotional, likely even listen to our Sunday school classes via podcast. As for Sunday school, those are happening on Zoom. You've gotten the link in the church email. If you would like to participate but don't get email, you can send an email to Rebecca and she can give you that information, or you can call the church office and we can give it to you. Those are my announcements for this morning. It is a strange place here in the sanctuary, but nonetheless, we know God is present here. Let us worship Him.
Call to worship this morning comes to us from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. As we begin our worship, we will sing Sanctuary. The words are printed on our screen. As we pray together, we offer to God our confession. We have printed the prayer for you on the screen. I hope you will join me as we confess before God and before one another. Let us pray. Holy God, in the midst of these trying times, we have behaved selfishly. We have not been concerned about our neighbor. We have not trusted in you. We have allowed circumstances to dictate the terms of our faith. Forgive us. Lord, today we pray for strength and purpose as we move through these days. Help us to be your disciples, to replace fear with hope and anxiety with trust. We know that in and through you, all things are possible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to hear again the good news of Jesus Christ. For who is in a position to condemn you? It is only Christ, and Christ was born for you. He taught for you. He died for you. He rose for you. And even now he prays for you. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that you were baptized. So remember your baptism this day. And know that you are sealed by God's Holy Spirit and forgiven by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing together.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everyone, we are going to take a look at the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah. So I'm going to invite you to read along if you have a Bible handy with you there in the house. If not, then you can go grab one here really quickly and open it up. I also would encourage you to take a moment at some time this week and read through the entire book of Jonah. It's very short. I think it's probably bad that whenever I encourage people to read the Bible, I feel the need to tell them that the part I'm recommending won't take long. But that is how I always feel. when I make the recommendation. So anyway, I'm going to read you the fourth chapter, the end, the spoiler for the book of Jonah. If you don't remember it, it's a fascinating read. When God saw what they did, the Ninevites, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you were a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a shelter for himself there. He sat under in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it to come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And Jonah said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor, in which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" That is the end of the book of Jonah, and that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, let's talk about our faith for a few minutes, shall we? As I was thinking about faith this past week, it made me think of the boxer Mike Tyson. So, a long time ago, when Tyson was still fighting, he had a fight lined up with the great heavyweight Evander Holyfield. And at the press conference before the fight, they asked Tyson if he was concerned about the plan Holyfield had going into the fight, the plan he was going to use to defeat Mike Tyson. And Tyson thought about it for a second, and he looked at the reporter, and he said, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." I think this is also true about faith. Everybody has faith. Everybody has beliefs about God. Everybody has things that we think until they get punched in the mouth. Now, most of us, over the course of our lives, have been punched in the mouth. Most of us have experienced things that were painful, sad, scary, that made us feel anxious, uncertain, or filled with grief. This has happened to almost all of us over the course of our lives, and some of us more times than we would like to count. But we know what it's like to get punched in the mouth. But what we had yet to experience until recently is what it was like for the entire world at exactly the same time to collectively be punched in the mouth. This is a new kind of suffering, a new kind of fear, a new kind of anxiety. And so it brings us back to the question. When we get punched in the mouth, what becomes of our faith? What becomes of our beliefs? What becomes of our ideas about God in a time like this? In a time where there is so much fear and so much uncertainty and so much that none of us have ever experienced before. How do we look at our faith? How do we experience it? How do we take the punch? Well, let's think for a little while about Jonah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a quick flyover of the book of Jonah. Because if there's one book in the Bible where somebody continuously keeps getting punched in the mouth, it's this one. Jonah doesn't know what to do with what's happening to him. And let's be fair, you wouldn't either. So what is happening to Jonah? Jonah's living peacefully in his land. We don't know much about him. When God comes to him and says that he wants Jonah to go to Nineveh, one of the great cities of the age, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, he wants him to go to Nineveh and tell them that they need to repent or their city will be destroyed. Now let's think for a second. This is mouth punch number one. And if we want to be critical of Jonah, think for a minute about how you would feel if God appeared to you in a vision and told you that you needed to go to Beijing or Delhi or Rio or New York City and stand in the middle of the city and tell all of them that they were going to be burned alive if they did not repent. You would probably run away too, because that's what Jonah did. Jonah headed in the exact opposite direction from Nineveh. He headed for the Mediterranean. He went down to a port in Joppa, and he was going to go to Tarshish. So he gets into a boat, and you know this part of the story. A storm comes up, and the sailors on board try to figure out why the storm is there, and they quickly deduce that it's about Jonah, and so they do what the rest of us would do. They throw him overboard. And then, punch in the mouth number two, a fish comes and swallows up Jonah, and it holds him in its belly until he finally gives in. And he agrees to go off and go to Nineveh and say what he needs to say. And the fish spits Jonah out on the beach, and then Jonah heads to Nineveh. We can picture him sadly trudging off, knowing what he has to do, knowing it's going to be a miserable experience for him. And he goes to Nineveh, and he goes and walks into the middle of the city, and it takes forever because the city's so big. And finally he gets there, and finally he gets to the middle of the city, and finally he says what he has to say, and he expects everybody to laugh at him and mock him and throw fruit at him. But that's not what happens. They hear what he says, and they repent. And God decides that he will spare the great city of Nineveh. And for Jonah, this was mouth punch number three. So Jonah says, I knew you were a nice and gracious God. I knew it. I knew this was a waste of my time. I knew it. And so he goes and he sits outside the city and he waits to see what's going to happen. And he's sitting there in the sun and in the heat. And God makes a bush to grow over Jonah, and it shelters him. And really, for the first time in the whole book, Jonah seems somewhat happy and content. But then the bush dies, and Jonah has finally had it. He says again, I just wish I could go ahead and die. And then we get to the money line of the whole book. I'm going to read it to you again. The Lord said, you are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? So there Jonah sits, so upset and so angry because what was happening around him did not match what he wanted to have happen. For those of us who believe in God, who follow Jesus, there's something that should occur most of the time in our lives. We should have a belief about who God is, who Christ is, who we're called to be, and that belief should create certain values. And those values should then finally manifest themselves in certain actions. Jonah believed that God was a good and merciful and gracious God, and yet Jonah was more upset about the loss of the bush which was sheltering him than he was about the potential loss of 120,000 lives. He had the belief, but it never made it to a value, much less an action. Now, this is important for us today, specifically in our world at this moment. And the best way that I can explain it to you, the best way that I think I can get you to understand what's at stake, is to talk about what is on all of our minds right now. Toilet paper. Now, as usual, the British have a different name for toilet paper. They have several different names for it. And their name is better than our name. What we call toilet paper, they call bog roll. And I think bog roll is a much better name, so we're going to call it bog roll for the rest of our time here this morning. So this is a story about the bog roll aisle at the BB Arkansas Walmart at 6 a.m. this past Tuesday. You're not going to get this story anywhere else, so I hope you appreciate the fact that this is exclusive. So it was senior shopping morning at the BB Walmart, and so there were a few lines that formed throughout the store, and Walmart employees were trying to help people interact with one another in a way that didn't lead to chaos. So, of course, the longest line in the supermarket portion of the store was on the aisle for bog roll. And there were people lined up. There were two women at the front of the line, then there was a man, and then there was a fourth man. And the fourth man, apparently assessing the situation and assessing his needs and assessing his situation back at home, decided that this line was not satisfactory. So he cut. He walked in front of the man in front of him, and then in front of the two women, and he went to grab his own package of bog roll. Well, this didn't go down well with the people in front of him. The man said something, apparently the two women said something, and here's how it ended. It ended with the police being called to the BB Arkansas Walmart at 6 a.m. to deal with the unruly senior citizens who had lost control on the toilet paper aisle, as they were trying their best to make sure that they were supplied. The two women had to be escorted to their cars for their own protection by Walmart employees, and I don't know what became of the two men. We can only hope that they did not end up with their own bog roll after their behavior. Belief, value, action. People can say they believe whatever they want, but if we went and talked to the man who was fourth in line on the aisle that morning, if we went and talked to him, he might tell us all sorts of things that he believed. But when it came down to it on that day, there was a gap, in all likelihood, between what he believed and what he valued. What he valued was bog roll. What he believed, who only knows? At times like these, specifically at times like these, we listen to what God was trying to say to Jonah. You believe this about me, right, Jonah? And yet you're worried about whether or not you'll have enough toilet paper. I myself am worried about the 120,000 people in Nineveh. We believe God is a gracious and loving creator who values all the people and all the life on this planet because when he created it, he called it good. We believe that. And if we believe that, then that means we have certain values in our lives. It means that one of the things we value is not just our own comfort and the shade that a plant was providing for us, but we value the lives of all those around us just as God does. And if we believe that God loves all these people, and if that leads to values in our lives, then that means it leads to certain behaviors and actions. It means that in a time like this, especially in a time like this, when the whole world has been punched in the mouth, it means that our actions line up always with our values and our beliefs. The book of Jonah is not about the city of Nineveh. It's about God speaking to a person about the ways in which they believe affect the ways in which they live. I do not know what this week is going to bring. I don't know. I didn't know what any of this would be like. I'm as shocked as you are. But I do know this, that no matter what it brings, it doesn't change who God is, and it shouldn't change who you and I are. Our beliefs, our values, and our actions should form a perfect line from what we do to the very nature of God. Amen.
us pray. Lord, you are the giver of perspective. You are the giver of the right path. You are the giver of the solid foundation. We thank you for that this day, that in your word to us, spoken and heard, you remind us what is important. You remind us of who we are. You remind us of who you are and how that changes what we value, what we do. Realign us this day, we pray, Lord. Turn our lives to focus on the 120,000 and not on our own plant. Turn our eyes to focus on you. We offer prayers for the great cities of your world this day and for the small towns and for everything in between. So many are ill, Lord, and so many are afraid. So many have died. We cannot carry those numbers. We cannot carry that sadness. We lay it before you, trusting that you can carry it. That long before the first of us wept, you were present. You wept alongside them. Hear our prayers this day, O Lord. Prayers for the world, prayers for our own families, prayers for our neighbors, prayers for those who work so diligently during this time. Lord, hear our prayers. Trusting in the goodness of God and in the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray together the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We, of course, are not taking an offering this morning, but I do want to give you the moment to consider that God asks for our very lives. They were a gift to us, and we return them each morning to the Lord, asking him to use them, to multiply the gifts he's given, and to give us the grace to share them. And so, with that offering in mind, let us sing our praise to the Lord.
And now, my friends, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storms. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home once more to these doors. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.